they're shutting the power off for an entire two floors in the Merchandise Mart, which is like one of the biggest buildings.
Well, we're also
in North
on
America.
The floor with the food court and everything.
The train station.
Now, I don't know what the consequences would be for the L stop.
I'm sure the L stop's on a different circuit.
No, I don't know about the actual Merchandise Mart entrance. I'm sure the L itself could stop at Merchandise Mart, and you could go down those other stairs.
Can you imagine if there's like an electrical box for the Mart, like we have in our basements, like CTA?
Turn it all off.
Reset it. Second floor.
What's this do?
What is this?
No, I think they come in like after midnight and just do it if it's like an emergency and people could die.
It's not that big of an emergency, I guess.
This, again, I think the problem is there's an exposed, degraded main electrical line that they need to shut two floors down to work on and repair in the Merchandise Mart.
I get the problem. I'm saying...
They can't just do that overnight? No, they need 3 fucking days to do it. Like, this is going to be a huge project.
Is this like the D.C. Metro that they had to
basically
shut down for a day?
But they're not even doing it in 3 days. They're doing it in 8 days.
It's going to be like Ghostbusters 1 where they dress up
as
electrical workers.
Friday 5 and opening up Monday at
that was
like
part
3
2 of it, yeah.
Was it 2?
That was part 2.
Yeah. You're right.
That's a little
over. That's what the trial's for in part 2.
Is April 1st
right.
a Friday?
April 1st is a Friday.
And then April 4th is a Monday?
9 days from now.
So, right.
So there's a threat of a fire for the next 9 days.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, we're so well trained. We're pretty cool. It would be hard for us to die in a fire.
You want to try that?
I mean, there's an exit right there.
You can't use the escalator, though.
Well, there's a fire. Yeah, I love that. You know, like, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You know,
the Chicago office asked me if the doors would unlock during a fire, and I said I wouldn't count on it.
Oh, God, no.
You're supposed to go all the way down the hall to the stairs to get to your... They're like, but the escalator's right there. And I'm like, you could try these doors. I mean, if you get your key card, you could probably get out, but... You're not supposed to go out these doors.
Which doors?
They're not supposed to go out those doors, past the lobby, down the... They're all supposed to
I'm
go
I'm breaking
all
that
way
window
down.
Out.
I am throwing a chair through the window.
I'm throwing a chair through
the
window.
We're taking these gates
right
here.
Here.
Yeah. We're going to throw these gates.
I would give you...
If somehow these doors didn't work, we'd get out through the window.
Sean, I give you 45 minutes to try and break that window.
With those gates right there? Those heavy
no,
gates?
No, with the chair. With the chair.
No, we're throwing those gates through
it. We'll get the gates.
There's no way.
We're going to be like the Vandals at the gates of Rome.
I don't think you could lift those gates, number one. Number two, I don't think you could, in 45 minutes, break the window to get out.
Oh, I think we could break that window in 45 minutes.
I think we could break the window. You don't think we could?
I totally think we can.
You know what you could get? They have like these things, and you can make them artificially. They're called like window breakers, and they're actually like surprise. They can get one on the
sure.
for your keychain.
Oh,
like you
I didn't
only
know
need
you carried
like
the glass you know, breaker for your car.
You
so
only
you
need
okay.
like a little bit of. You could probably use like a precision screwdriver, I'll bet, to just get a teeny hole started. Yeah. Then you throw a chair, and the whole thing just collapses.
I see it all the time on Chicago PD.
I see it all the time. I've spent most of my day thinking about how I'm going to escape from here.
I don't think that if there was a fire tomorrow and like somebody died, that there would be a massive, massive, massive lawsuit.
Would there? Yes. But they also, I'll bet you if they closed it down, they'd probably get sued from all these businesses for lost revenue. So they're probably thinking, okay, well, if we tell the Carb Hut or whatever it is,
they
can't be open, you know, and the Halstead Deli, they're all going to be like, okay, well, anyways, due to the lease, I mean, they might have protections.
They may say, dude, we're going to lose revenue for
a week.
Yeah,
so they're like, you owe us $5,000. So, like, when you times that by all the vendors, they're like, fuck it.
They've done the math.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Fight Club where he's like, my company does the math of, you know, doing a recall.
And I haven't talked to the electrician or the team of people that work here, so they may have found an exposed wire, prevented it from causing a fire in the meantime, but no, they have to replace or do something else to make sure it doesn't happen in the future. So I don't know what they've done to remediate the current problem in time for April 1st's shutdown and
it's an interesting date to choose for a massive
April 1st?
Shutdown. Yeah.
I'll be working from home.
You don't come here.
Yeah.
You're really upset about this, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, you're very... he thinks he's working in a death trap.
I'm part of the fire team.
So you need to take this seriously, yeah.
So how many meetings have you shown up for the fire?
Zero.
And how many times have you been involved in a fire drill?
Zero.
Okay.
I love how Dion, like, he's holding the microphone to talk into the microphone while Gavin's supposedly like sharing with
him. He's doing a five-on-your-side like, interview where he found this lazy fire marshal.
Everybody loves to say the mic's got to be pointed.
And sir, how many?
Well, it's such a pain in the butt to share this mic anyway.
It is a pain.
Sir, point it up. Point the logo up.
Dion, turn it back towards you. One person has the... why is this difficult? One person has a decent mic, and then if you put that over there, it'll work.
We're good.
No, you're not.
There's this...
why are you just difficult today?
He's in a bad mood today, yeah.
There's this reporter...
Jesus Christ, Dion!
I just like you quizzing him like he's late, like you're doing a five-on-your-side expose of this bad fire marshal. There's a reporter
he's
from Cleveland who's become... kind of internet famous. You guys might have even seen him. His name is Carl Monday. All right, I'm from Cleveland originally. And he does these things. I think it is called Five on Your Side, but he basically ambushes corrupt politicians. And he's like, you own this. You have a relationship with this vendor who's doing garbage for the city. That's how it started. It was all muckraking and it was great. But I don't know. They've cut the news budget and now he... like one that went internet famous and it's kind of viral and you could Google it, it's out there. He just got a report that some dude was masturbating at the library. So he goes down there and as the guy's leaving, he's like, why are you masturbating at the library? And the guy's like, leave me alone. Like, I'm homeless, all right? I just don't get to see women that often. He's like, that was you masturbating at the library, right? You weren't doing any research. And it made the news. Like the Cleveland News broadcasted it. Like, and the latest, Five on Your Side investigation.
Wow.
I haven't seen a real woman since 1992. Leave me alone.
I don't think any library blocks their internet.
I smell like urine. Yes. So,
yeah. You know what's interesting is librarians are like the most hardcore freedom of information people in the world. Like they're always one of the leading backers of like whenever there's like the government wants to weaken encryption or do censorship, like librarian unions are always very vocal to not restricting any of that.
The library in Orland where I grew up had unrestricted internet access, and every time you went to the computer, supposedly all there were was in history was porn.
Sure.
On every single computer in the library.
Have you seen what San Francisco did? Because like people were complaining about, you know, San Francisco has a lot of homeless people there. People were complaining that they were masturbating. And they're like, you got to filter porn. They're like, we don't filter anything, you know. So they actually built, apparently they built pods so that these homeless people could just have some privacy.
Oh, come on.
Well, no, this is totally true.
This is like
the San Francisco library, you could get almost like a peep booth or
like
something
a peep
like
show
that.
Booth.
Yeah.
Oh, no. My gosh.
Yeah. And that's how they dealt with it rather than filtering their software.
I like that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow. You like that.
Get a little privacy.
To know. Not to encourage it, but like it's going to happen.
Good to know.
So we shelter them.
Yeah.
And Orland did the opposite. They locked down sites and prevented porn from being loaded on computers, and you can only...
You guys are unconstitutional, Dion.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So.
Should we start now?
You want to start?
Should we do the intro?
Go ahead. Welcome to the Worldwide IT Guys.
What number is this?
This is podcast number 28. Thank you very much.
We have John,
Gavin,
Dion,
and Sean.
Oh,
sorry, Steve. I thought you already introduced yourself there.
Got a little anxious there, Sean.
It's quite all right. It's quite all right. That was a really rough start. So, yes, we are the Worldwide IT Guys and San Francisco Library. That's very interesting. I don't think...
they call them privacy screens. I've just looked it up. So it is... It is true.
Fact.
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 Fact or fiction.
Is that almost like when Germany had the World Cup and prostitution's legal?
I read about
that, yeah.
They built,
like,
like these,
parking
like...
stalls so people could get... prostitutes and have a little privacy.
Parking stalls.
Yeah.
Like
my God. But no,
yeah, it's almost like the separation in an ER room or something. There's just like a claw.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they built temporary parking slots with walls up so you can get prostitutes for the World Cup.
Wow.
I'd like one of those for my
cubicle. For your cubicle?
I think that's why Gavin's more upset is that he probably lives here and he won't be able to live here that weekend.
Yeah.
I've got people coming over.
I've thought about that. Like, if I was single, like, I think living in the Mart would be cool.
In the Mart?
Yeah, just like not having a place. You would save so much money.
Oh, just finding a corner somewhere.
Just finding, like, our office is so big.
Like that bad Tom Hanks movie. What was that? Where he was stuck in an airport?
Yeah.
Yes, that one. Yeah, where he's the political refugee.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's that, he did it out of necessity, but there's that Will Smith movie where he plays a lawyer who's so down on his luck he has to live at his office, too. But I feel like we have. There's no shower, I think, here, but yeah, you could use the bathroom. And
the river's right there, though.
Catch your dinner in the river.
Well, there's a health club upstairs. We have to get a membership. It's pretty pricey.
Yeah.
Not worth the shower.
Yeah.
$70 a month.
Yeah, it's really
for
expensive.
A shower.
Yeah.
You could.
So who has anyone here slept overnight at this office?
I have
at
not.
At this office? No.
Okay. At the other one?
I did it at the old office.
When we moved in, I was here.
Oh.
Once. I mean, we went to a hotel, but the year that we moved in, I think I spent the night here once.
Not at the hotel, but at the office here.
Yeah.
From a system problem or partying or a little bit of both?
No, we were installing servers and
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And I did the same thing.
Or I didn't
know
if it was like, oh, I can't drive home. Like, you know, we were out
in San Francisco for an office move, did the same thing.
Yeah.
Just caught a couple hours or an hour on a couch. And, you know, so.
I witnessed our old.
This is a good. Give him the mic. This is a good story.
Yeah. Our old mail guy was Kevin. He was like he's a younger kid. He was really, really funny. And there was one of the nights we used to do like a Thursday night club here to stay later and have some drinks and hang around for a bit. One of those nights got really, really wild. And it was like it was Calvin, our old coworker, Stevie, and Kevin. And they ended up staying like I probably left at like 10 o'clock or something in the morning. No, yeah, 10 o'clock at night I left. They kept going the entire rest of the way. I went into the office early, probably like an hour or half an hour early, like 8 or 8:30. And I'm the first person here. It's all dark. And I open the doors up, and I walk into the scrum room where we're sitting right now. And all of a sudden, something like moves up off the couch. I'm like, oh, my God, what the fuck was that? And it was Kevin, the mail guy, and he's still sleeping over here because he's still drunk from last night at like 8:30 in the morning. And he just gets up. And he's like, Gavin, man, what the fuck? Where am I? You know, he like has no idea. I learned later that he had passed out in the bathroom and locked the door.
Oh, no. No way.
Over here. So Stevie and Calvin had to like get the keys and unlock it somehow. Or they just left them. I can't remember. I'm not sure if they were even able to.
Oh, my God.
So oh, my gosh.
I'm like, it's probably, you know, I'm here for half an hour just getting set up and everything. And I go to get some food from McDonald's. And I just see Calvin walking through the hallways looking at me just kind of like bleary eyed. He just goes, man, I'm still fucking drunk. I'm like, yep, yes, you are. You beat the shit out of me, though.
That's a great story.
I've never been there.
No. That's a great story.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's where you got your G Money name.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, was it that night? No.
No, it wasn't that night.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. So, what's happened this week? Anything interesting? Transformation wise.
Dion, you've been having a lot of transformation calls, right?
He doesn't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it?
Same old shit.
Yeah.
I mean, shit on his face. What do you want from me? Nothing's new.
It is funny. They're such a big company, IBM, that I feel like sometimes they're just like, hey, could you test this for us? And it's like, well, it's technically your product. Like, we wouldn't know who to find on our company. So if you could just, as the client, test our app for us, that'd be huge.
That did happen this week. Because
I'm always like, why are we testing this? You know?
Yeah. And well,
everyone's like, well, if we don't test it, nobody will.
So
and I'm like, well, then let's not test it because it's not our app.
But it's our users, so we are testing it. The only other thing was there was a rogue IBM.
This is funny.
Yes. Yes.
Support guy out there who we've tried to keep very good track of the things that need to go to IBM and the things that need to come back to Dion or whatever. And so essentially we've tried to keep really good track of like, hey, here's what I do, here's what you need to do, and we're almost done. I'm like, like we're checking things off the list, and we're like, I see the light at the end of the tunnel, and then out of nowhere there's just this app and this guy that says, hey, who's doing this? And we're like, that's not even on our list. We don't, who are you? What's going on here? And
now wait, we knew who it was.
Well, we know the guy, but we didn't know that guy was doing that for this app for so long. And and he kind of went through different channels to say, hey, he's raising his hand to somebody who's kind of involved at a higher level, but not really managing the daily, you know, check-ins of like what's being transferred. And it came to us through a different channel. We're like, wait a minute, where'd this guy come from? This is rogue IBM guy supporting this app in Germany. And we're like, oh, okay, so what do you do, and what are we going to do here? And it was basically like, well, I don't know where this is going to go or who's going to support it, because I'm the only guy who's doing it. Yeah. Obviously, nobody else knows about it. Like, what's going on here? So,
well, it was also just funny the way IBM, because we were just like, oh, who's this dude? But like IBM was like panicking. You know, it seemed like, who the hell is this guy? He's closing tickets. He's opening tickets all by. They were talking about him like he's a political gorilla. like he might start a movement.
This guy's closing so many tickets.
This guy's helping people.
Look, his bad. Yeah.
He's gonna. The users are soon gonna think that we can solve problems quickly if we don't get this guy. If we don't like make him disappear.
Get him under control.
Yeah.
He was supporting the app like he'd always done. They wanted to make sure that if he wasn't supposed to support it, he wasn't closing tickets, you know. So anyways,
they are funny with that. I've heard that with a couple texts. They're like, well, I haven't transferred knowledge. And they're like, nope, you know, that's okay. You know, you're to stop supporting it. Like, well, but there's nobody to replace me. They're like, well, you know,
that's not our problem.
Yeah.
That's somebody else's problem on the other side of the fence.
Yep.
So has he been reined in?
No. We don't have a plan yet.
He's still rogue.
We don't know.
He's
yeah, rogue. We need Jason Bourne he's to go off find the grid. Him and figure this out for us.
He's got 6 different passports. He can disappear. He can pop up in the Netherlands. Start closing tickets.
He can close tickets on 5 continents.
The ticket is being closed from inside the building.
So
how can this be?
That's this week's transformation update.
That's a good update.
But I also like, it seems like every call you have, Dion, someone's reaching in someone's pocket.
Yeah,
is it the right pocket? Is it the right pocket?
Going on.
Wrong,
you have to
pocket,
be in the right
left,
pocket.
Right back pocket.
Don't be in the wrong pocket, ever.
So you're saying there's a lot of reach arounds going on?
A lot of,
seems like
a
it.
A lot of reaching.
I'll tell you, it feels real good having it in this pocket. You know, say that to
when
them.
You find the right pocket, it feels so good.
I just think that's a funny term. Just
it's
a funny,
hilarious.
Yeah. It's,
yeah. I haven't heard that before. Is that a common IT or business phrase?
No. This is new to transformation for me.
Okay.
The other thing that Dion and I both had separate incidents, but the same problem this week, where an acronym was used, an abbreviation, not technically an acronym, but 3 letters that we'd never seen before used together, and we had no concept for what the heck they were.
Why don't we quiz them and let's see what they come up with.
So,
yours. Go over with yours first.
I don't even remember what it was now. I thought yours was mine. That's how, I mean, that's the problem with all these. There are so many different.
Big companies love acronyms.
CBO.
Mine was CBA. What do you think CBA, the CBA
cost benefit
for?
Analysis.
I'm thinking.
Wrong?
No.
Chicago Bagel Authority.
Yes. And I said collective bargaining agreement. No, neither one of those.
Corporate
something administration. It's none of those? What is it? I have no idea.
I
mean, I feel in business CBA is usually cost benefit analysis.
You would be correct. However, yeah. In this analysis, we're talking about the custom business application.
Oh, come on now.
That's pretty good.
How am I supposed to know what that means? You can't Google it, and nobody knows what it is.
Yeah, of course.
The guy, like,
I've never understood why big companies like to do acronyms that actually waste time.
It's IBM.
Yeah.
IBM loves their three characters.
Yeah.
Acronyms. I had a buddy that worked at IBM for like almost 10 years, and I would have all these acronyms, and I I'd be like, listen, dude, what does this one mean? And he sent me a link one time. Literally, there's an IBM glossary. It's a dictionary of IBM. They invented these things. Yeah. Like, nobody had these acronyms before IBM. IBM's been doing this forever, probably 50 years. They have their own dictionary that they make up. CBA doesn't mean what you think it means. Yeah. It means this. So, you know.
So CBA, you know.
That was mine.
There's FMO and CMO and RFP and RFS and I guess an RFP we all
FMO sounds funny because it sounds like an internet acronym for like go fuck yourself or something like that.
It's
you know,
just ridiculous the number of these things that are flying around. But I had a different one that and I don't have it in front of me, but it was something else. It was the GDC. I think it was the GDC.
GDC.
Hmm.
I have no gross domestic. Calculation. I don't know what GDC would be.
Global domain controller.
And I'm probably going to be wrong on it, but it is like the global delivery center or something like that. And it, you know, it's just fine. I don't care. It's just funny that two of us had the same problem, and that when you brought it up, I was like, wait. I just learned this one, and I was wrong. It was a different one.
It was different. It wasn't the one I was supposed to learn.
Totally wrong. So yes, that's
funny.
This week in transformation, Apple had some announcements. Did anybody see the Apple announcements?
We watched them here live in the office.
Oh, you guys did.
We had an Apple viewing party.
Anything interesting?
I saw them after the fact just because I had to go literally seek out what was announced and went, well, now I know why I had to seek them out. It was a big yawn.
People are tired of Apple announcing in such a grand fashion that they're releasing a smaller or bigger or whatever size of iPads or iPhones or whatever. And I think people are like, okay, it's you have a Pro but smaller now. Okay, and you have an iPhone but smaller now. Okay, great. You guys were touting how big was great, and now it's small is better. So. It is what it is. I mean, they threw a couple features in the new SE. I don't know what they even added to it.
Is that the phone?
Yeah, the phone is a iPhone 6 SE because they've run out of letters. We need more acronyms and shit. Right?
Why can't they just go to the 7?
One of the things that, and I think we've talked about this before, but one of the things that Apple did well initially was not muddy the waters. It was clear.
Yeah.
And all they've done is get worse and worse and worse about this. There are too many of these things. One of our cohorts was complaining to me about how many different iPads are there now?
There's like five.
They're
five
actually
or six,
being offered, right? It's not just like, oh, well, there's the old one and then there's the new one. Or there's the old one or two and then the new one or two. It's the mini. And then the Pro, and then the Pro Big, and the Pro Small, and the
Air.
Air. And the...
I wonder if, everyone talked about, like, ooh, how's Apple going to change when Steve Jobs isn't there? Are the products going to be totally different? Well, maybe it is something simple like the product line stratification.
Yeah.
Like, when he came back from the 90s, like, what they did was completely slash, like, they had all these different, like, you had the clones, you had, like, these weird Italian names for the models, like the Performa 550 and all this shit, and they're just like, here's a Macintosh again.
Yeah.
And, like, here's a simple name, and you can understand what the product line is.
I don't know. I think they all have a different touch and feel, so... they're trying to cater to the people who like you like your version of your iPad and you think it's perfect. And some people think the mini is absolutely perfect, but now the Pro has got all this extra performance and they want the little one or the big one. So now they have to have that version. I think they're catering to the need or the demand or the sales in those categories. There's a mini category and there's a Pro category. People like different form factors. They're trying to cater.
That's I'll give you.
And they're competing with Android, which has everything, every flavor under the sun. You want a size.
Yeah.
You want a resolution. You want a performance. How about Surface too? Like they're in a market now where they're gonna have big little, right? So
I will give you that. That's the counter argument to what I'm saying, but I think it sucks. My opinion is they're wrong.
Why? You walk into an Apple store, you pick up this one, you pick up that one, you go this one, you say, I think you're IT, and you pick up everyone, you get everyone, you own everyone, and you're like, oh, this is my preference, but you know what? Their names are confusing me, so. Yeah.
But I get that too, though, like, because I think,
I like that they have the smaller new phone, because I was one of those people who thought the iPhone 6 was a little bit too big, but I think the marketing at least sucks behind it, where it's like you're confused. Like I never know what fucking Android phone is coming out, and, you know, the Nexus S5 bullshit. Like, I don't know. There's too many devices. I can't keep track. And I'm almost feeling like just I love the iPhone, but I still don't. The SE, 5C, S Plus,
yeah.
Plus, like, it's getting, the marketing at least is getting a little
but
bit
But they don't market it that way. You don't see a commercial that says iPhone 6 SE. You see a new iPhone commercial that says, hey, this one's a little smaller and fits in your purse. That's the commercial you see. That's the ad you see on the internet.
Here's what I would do. I would go with iPhone Pro, iPhone Mini, and just keep it simple.
iPad Pro.
What?
You said iPhone Pro,
I would rename the 6 Plus.
Oh, okay.
iPhone Pro.
Gotcha.
Six.
And keep it consistent across their lines.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the brands.
Yeah. And I think there's an argument for that. I think they've gone, again, my opinion, too splintered. They're muddying the waters, and they're making it too hard for the consumers again, which was the whole point, to simplify initially.
Yeah, right? It's definitely a deviation from how they've been the last 10 years, because they were always a company that, like, they were sort of like, no, this is what you want. You know, or you'd be like, I'd like it a little bigger. Well, you're not getting it. You know, like, they're not, like, I feel like I've never seen a company as successful as them that, to me, gives less of a shit what their customers say about them. You know, because they're almost more like, no, we're going to try and predict what you like. And you
we're
don't know
tell what, you what tell you what
yeah
you like.
Exactly exactly
buy it,
yeah
no
yeah.
matter what
yeah
they're gonna line up
so and... it seems to be a bit of a deviation from how they used to be, and, you know, and, you I guess know, we'll is, find out if it's successful or not.
Is that a reaction to, you know, growth in price, stock price being down, or pressure from the market in some way because Android does this and Microsoft is doing that? What are you doing about it? Or, you know, I feel like Apple should be going, fuck you. I know what's right. I'm going to do what's right. And you're all going to follow.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. I think that's a huge mistake if that's what they're reacting to, because they've never been that way. And, like, you know, if you're ever reacting to short-term stuff like that, you're just going to screw yourself.
Maybe it's because they haven't had as many, like, overwhelming new products, though. Like, I feel it's easier to do that if you're launching something that's really revolutionary. You can sort of be like, oh, okay, you know, there's just one version, and you're going to adore it.
So, opinion again, Apple on a downswing, my opinion.
No, not at all.
My opinion.
Yeah, absolutely not.
If they have another, announcement like this, and there's nothing of value in it, it's like, yeah, you guys, not good.
Really?
What do they say?
They haven't, like, wowed you in, I don't know.
Stop talking about it. That's all I'm saying. Just stop.
So they're just
don't have
stop marketing.
No. Release stuff.
Yeah.
But don't have an event for a non-event.
You feel the event is too ostentatious for what they're actually releasing.
This one was a non-event.
I see what. Yeah.
Hey, shut down the Apple Store. Turn it back on. Tell people there's something going on, but don't get in front of an audience and do this.
Yeah.
Just go, hey, here's some new product. It's not a big deal. This is what we've done. We're, you know, a little bit of line extension, but here, go.
Did they announce, like, new bands for the iWatch?
Yeah, and I think that's a waste too. But well, I think there's one too many Apple events a year. There usually was, like, a State of the Union for Apple, and then there was a developer conference.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Yeah.
There was the product release. Maybe we'll give you a sneak peek at the developer conference, because we, you know, you're our people. But the one that they did now in the spring defeats whatever you think will be coming at WWDC.
Right.
Which is their pinnacle, right?
Right.
So there's one too many. This one was not necessary. You should have saved whatever you were going to say here for WWDC and say, hey, developers, we got all this new iOS crap and all this stuff, and guess what? There's new hardware to run it on.
There's a little, here's a couple
one more
things.
Thing.
Yeah.
iPhone 6, you know, SE. So I think we all are in agreement that this announcement wasn't worthy of Apple-esque event.
Mm-hmm.
And then we usually get the new iPhone in September. Like, that's kind of the and get ready for Christmas, you know?
Right.
That's in my history. They do a big build up in June and announce a whole bunch of crap and give developers a couple months to build stuff for the new hardware. And then that comes up with and now here's the hardware announcement. And I like that model. This one was kind of like meh. So Yeah. I am all on board with meh.
Not impressed by it.
I agree.
Personally.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You're not pissed that you bought a watch and then they like dropped the prices?
It's my own fault. We're not checking that there was going to be an event.
Agreed. It was very impulse buy.
Can you take it back and then try to...
You do a 30-day... You probably should have a 30-day price match guarantee. Yeah.
Do you love it?
Yeah, I like it.
Tell us about your watch.
I have a new watch. It's very smart. It talks to me.
Have you named it?
Apple. No, I've not named it.
Does it run Alexa?
It does not run Alexa. Yeah, I'm still working on all kinds of integrations.
He does have a lot of women...
devices.
Virtual women.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
You do. You have an Alexa.
Yeah, if I could talk to Alexa via my watch, that'd be pretty amazing.
She's
going
to be like, don't make me talk to that bitch.
Yeah, they should really open up all those.
She wants me to order like books and movies, and I'm like, listen, I just want to know the train times.
Right.
Right?
That means your house. You wrote the software.
Yeah. Semi-related. Tech news still. You guys saw Andy Grove died?
Mm-hmm.
Andy Grove, engineer, ran Intel for years. Big loss? What was he doing of late?
I have no idea. Was he still with Intel?
I assume he retired and was just...
I had heard he'd been sick for a while. I don't know if that's true. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I'm...
Is George Moore still alive?
I don't know.
The guy... It's kind of amazing, like, how many... I mean, I guess that's why they're as big as they are. Like, the talent Intel had in, like, the 70s and 80s, you know, and how just off their company policies, there's, like, these laws now on microprocessing.
Well, Moore, I think, is the guy who hired Andy Grove.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Yeah.
I guess they worked together, you know, prior to that.
And yeah.
They brought him in to head engineering before he became CEO. But yeah, I thought it was a big deal. You know,
yeah, I would. It
not
definitely
that he
is.
Was doing a lot, but you know, we're seeing some of the greats that built what technology is today fading away.
Sure,
it's kind of a big deal. Do we have a political update this week?
You know, the funny thing is when you're at the point where you're like just you're just home, you're watching TV, and then they're interrupting it with another primary, like, and you're like, there's another one? Like, didn't another we just update? Do this every Tuesday for the past, like, 2 months? And you're like, they're still going on. Stop interrupting my TV.
Well, they were realizing on the Republican side, I think they said, like, the earliest it could happen is, like, June 3rd, I believe, is the earliest that one of the nominees could get to the delegate count.
Republican side.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It will could happen sooner on the Democrats. I probably would.
You know?
You would assume.
Yeah.
I saw it's funny this week. We had another terrorist attack, and people are continuing to talk about Trump, how he cannot answer a question. He just kind of goes back to whatever he wants to say.
Yeah.
And so it was Matt Lauer who was asked him, like, so, Mr. Trump, if you were president, how would you address the nation after this terrible? And he just did not answer the question. He basically just started talking about how he's, like, going to build
Make
a
America
wall.
Great
and
again, build a wall.
And Matt Lauer's Obama's like, fault that, you know, terrorists are,
like,
doing all this stuff, you know.
Matt Lauer's like, Mr. Trump, you didn't answer my question.
Yeah.
What would you say to the country? And he did again. He just continued to circle around and do it. And it's just I
that might be how he addresses us if it happens. He might just still be talking about a wall every day.
Exactly.
You know, we might just have a president that constantly talks about walls. You know, that's all. He's like, I told you guys we needed a wall.
Did you see
shutting down borders?
John Oliver did a great thing on last week tonight regarding the wall.
Yeah.
And, like, how much it was going to cost and how many different times Trump has said, like, you know, they say it's going to cost $10 million. I'll get it built for four, you know, because I know how to do things, right. And it'll still be the best wall ever, and I'm still going to make Mexico pay for it and all this other stuff, right? And then since he said that originally, he's come back with, it's going to cost eight, and then you hear him in another interview, it's going to cost 10. You hear him in another interview, it's going to cost 12. And they actually did all this research the last week tonight, and they're like, okay, so physically building the wall sounds like it will cost us about $10 to $12 billion. That doesn't include the designs, that doesn't include getting materials to the location, and that doesn't include, you know, getting XYZ. Yeah. They're like, so $20 billion, America, for the wall. That's about right for a wall. That if you bought this ladder, and they show like a 33-foot ladder you can get on fucking Amazon, it defeats it.
Yeah.
And then they show an interview where Trump is asked in a thing like, well, why won't they just get taller ladders? How they? He's like, well, maybe they'll get up on the wall, but like, how are they gonna get down? Oh yeah, maybe ropes. Anyways, no. It was like, you would just see John Oliver like, holy shit, did you just see the moment where Trump defeated his own argument, and he's just face is just like that's in funny. Shock that maybe
answered
ropes
his own question.
Oh,
maybe
shit.
Ropes. Maybe ropes. I don't know.
The wall's fucked.
Well, this week there's also one day where Trump was on an ABC News morning show and they asked him a question, and then he was on NBC with Matt Lauer again later on and they asked him the same question and he gave two different answers.
Yeah.
And Matt Lauer goes, Mr. Trump, our friends at ABC News asked you the same question 30 minutes ago and you gave an entirely different answer to your questions. Like, what is your stance on this or whatever? It was,
I didn't even recording that last question. Yeah. Like, you know,
I didn't understand what he was saying.
I like to be fluid. I like to answer questions in the moment. This is how I feel at the moment. I don't have a stance per se. So that raises the specter of the preppers. And that's kind of where I'm thinking, maybe these guys got it right. Maybe we should stockpiling and
maybe for a Trump. I wonder if like for a Trump, like if we get down, say Trump's the nominee, and you know, say when's the election, November? Like say we get near November and he's like polling high. I wonder if you're just gonna see like at a macro level like canned goods and guns.
Well, I know,
you know.
My father-in-law when Obama got elected, he thought he was gonna like abolish guns. Mm-hmm. So he went out, he's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna go out and get guns before
the spike. I remember when he was elected, spike in gun purchases.
The gun manufacturers must love Obama.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, even though they claim they hate him, like this guy has been so good.
So good for sales. Yeah. Absolutely.
But my father-in-law did that. I mean, he went out and bought a gun and so he thought that Obama was gonna get rid of it.
Mm, sure. Well, it's interesting about like the preppers, like the we were talking about it briefly because you know somebody was hadn't heard of the preppers, and then we were talking about like, well, what do you get to prep? And I think it depends on the apocalypse you're getting ready for, you know, like because you hear about some that think there's really going to be a zombie apocalypse,
right?
They want to isolate themselves and have guns. Then you have like some of the religious people who think the rapture is going to happen, you know. Then you have, like, I remember like Y2K, like they thought technology would end.
Just shut down.
Yeah.
Whole world.
And so, you know, let's look at the scenarios.
Yeah.
Trump, mm-hmm. That scenario, is it worth the prepping of...
Well, there you might be worried that like a nuclear holocaust will happen, that he'll just like, you know, flippantly use nuclear weapons.
I don't know. I heard that's why Obama went to Cuba, because he wanted to prepare Cuba for the place where all of the Americans were going to be fleeing, and they needed to get hotels set up. They need hotels to be set up in the next year in preparation for the reverse immigration to Cuba. That they need to prep.
We're going to flip Guantanamo into a high-end.
It's going to be
luxury.
An all-inclusive
resort.
We're going to let the terrorists, they're actually going to be our cooks.
We're going to open it back up. And
survival kits labor. Included. Survival
they
kits included.
Gordon Ramsay down there to train them. They're going to be great chefs soon.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you guys will find this as funny as me, but like, you know, I grew up in a Catholic school, and the Catholics don't really talk about the rapture. I don't even know if they really believe it or not. You know, the rapture is when all the true believers are basically teleported up to heaven.
There's a TV show about this, wasn't there?
The Remaining or something
it's
like that.
The people who didn't get raptured, who's left.
Mm-hmm, but they don't know if it's the rapture. Like, the show never, to my knowledge, I guess, doesn't address why millions of people just left. Okay. You know, or maybe it is the rapture. I don't know.
Was it really millions?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
But it's funny. Like there were all the, there's these hilarious rumors back in the day. They're like, well, you know, United Airlines will not allow two Catholic pilots on the same plane because if the rapture happens while they're in mid-flight, they need one pilot to land the plane. And I'm like, there's no way that's true. Bullshit. Yeah, I know exactly. I'm like, first of all, you're not allowed to just ask a guy if he's an atheist so that you could put him on a plane.
For the sake of this flight, could you just not believe in God for about 12 hours?
Yeah, and like, right. Nobody has a backup plan, a company backup plan for the fucking rapture. You know, like, oh, you know, like everyone's got up to heaven, but don't worry, we're gonna get you to Houston. Fred the Atheist here is.
I am some great vendor scum.
Are you ready? Rapture preparedness.
How secure is your data?
We should secure your data.
From now
we
on,
we will have a terrible human being push it to the cloud. He will be there day two.
I am flying Hooters Airlines from now
Hooters
on.
Hooters Airlines, yeah. The most rapture proof is Hooters Airlines.
But you could see with kind of some of the corporate stances that were taken during the gay marriage discussion,
yeah, yeah.
Where you had like the Chick-fil-A CEO coming out and just he's you know, not open on Sundays. And
uh-huh.
So if he ran United Airlines, you could see him
that's
putting
true.
Rules like
he could,
that in
he'd
place,
be crazy.
Right?
Well, he didn't want to open up a restaurant in a gay neighborhood in Chicago, right?
He did or did not?
He did not.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, he's, it's weird that in some ways, like, I disagree with everything he says politically, but in some ways it's kind of almost, like, I don't want to kind of be careful here, but, like, I do disagree with him, but it's almost refreshing, because I always hate it when, like, most companies are usually, like, some employee will say something, and they'll be like, you know, that does not reflect our views on, right. Like, you know, in some topic of it. But they'll never say what their actual views are, you know, or anything like that. I mean, it's kind of funny that he's just like, because do you remember how that
conviction.
Funny? It was a blogger who found that he was funneling money into these PACs. Like, so he wasn't donating it, like, in 100% public way.
Right.
And a blogger discovered all this 4 or 5 years ago.
Huh.
And he also found out, I think, the CEO for... I think it was 3M.
Hobby Lobby or...
Yes. Well, Hobby Lobby, but also 3M and Target. Like, one of the big corporations was also attached to it and had to resign, I believe. But anyways, they cornered this guy. Everyone else this blogger discovered was like, this Chick-fil-A guy was like, did we know that you funneled $10 million into this anti-gay marriage, political action committee? He's like, yes, I did. Yeah, I did. And he was like, I believe in fried chicken and traditional marriage, and
good chicken sandwiches.
And I
man
just,
are
like,
good.
Yeah,
chicken.
I mean, it was. I feel like you never know who your enemies are in corporations,
right?
Because they always just use this double speak and they use this aseptic language where they can never be pinned down.
Right.
So I was almost refreshed to hear a guy speak bluntly, though I disagree with him.
Yeah. Yep, that was me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and take total ownership of it.
Yep.
Not try and deny it. Not try and redirect it. Not try and claim, I thought it was going to something else.
Well,
you know? I
love the delicious chicken sandwich comment, because that was us driving down the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife looks at the thing and goes, let's grab a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And I go, we can't go there.
Yeah.
This guy. And she's like, oh, no.
They're really good. They're good chicken
Even
sandwiches.
Even their biggest critics would concede that. They're like, listen, I know it's a good sandwich. It's a good...
God, the chicken's so good.
It's really good.
I don't support him politically, but I gotta buy his sandwiches.
When you mentioned PACs, that reminded me this week, Donald Trump threatened to come out and do negative ad campaigns against the Chicago Cubs.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this, yeah.
And he also threatened... He also threatened to do a negative campaign against Ted Cruz's wife.
Oh, but I saw that.
So that was in retaliation, though.
Yeah.
So,
his wife, is, what a playground. His wife is fat. You know,
like. No, so here's what happened. Somebody posted a 1990s shoot of his wife Melania for like GQ or something.
Okay.
She's naked on a bear rug or something like
okay.
that. Okay. And it came out in an ad. Like, yeah. this, you want this for your first lady? And it's yeah. like, probably half America's like, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. So it got posted by either a PAC or something. Yeah. And Cruz is like, listen, I didn't do that. And, yeah. and you know, Trump's like, if you don't stop it, I'm going to go after your wife.
He's like, all the dirt I have on her, don't make me expose her.
Yeah, there's, that's hilarious. So there's the picture.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, it's basically, yeah. you could Google it,
that
everybody.
That is hilarious.
But he's, like, threatening to go after wives now. It's
and, the,
like,
and the Cubs.
And the Cubs.
Well, you know what's so funny? Because he clearly is incredibly thin-skinned. It's like, how can he actually be a president?
He threatens to sue everyone. He's going to sue Russia.
Yeah, or they made fun of his hands, and he turned the whole debate into talking about his penis size.
Yeah.
It's like, Hillary's going to be able to trap him on that, I think. I think they're going to, like he's going to...
Anybody. Yeah. I mean...
skin too, so but
she's a better she has better political instincts and she would never do it as she probably is thin skinned and would like maybe declare war on somebody for trivial reasons but she would make sure she's not attached to it. Like I feel she would be much more clever about it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I love how you just threw that out there.
What
I mean, she'd declare war on somebody over something personal.
Oh, I meant personal wars. I didn't mean I'm sorry. Yeah, I should have phrased.
Is, you know, your
no I meant like I want to bury that guy's career type war. Or, you know, yeah. Whereas he's just like flies off the handle, you know. I love like if he has to go to his campaign advisors, like, okay, Wisconsin could be in play for the election against Hillary. How do we want to spend our money in that corridor? Like, I want to just bash the Cubs.
Yeah.
Like I want every dollar of this campaign money to go into an anti-Cubs ad.
Because yes. All those Wisconsinites are going to care.
Take down the Bears. Yep.
God. So, Donald Trump, thin-skinned, small hands. Hillary Clinton, thin-skinned.
Big hands.
Big hands declaring war on whomever. Nice. I don't know. Have you gotten anywhere on the going to the convention?
I haven't. I need to. I'm going to look into that this week.
That's an important task. We've got sponsors lining up already.
Okay.
So.
All right. I'll actually start composing an email right now.
Camaro.
Yes.
Full tank of gas.
Gas up the Camaro. We'll get you there if we have.
Gas up the Camaro.
I don't know if it's good. I don't know how funny it is, but that link that I think you posted, Steve, the Connie Hotel. Concierge that is fueled by Watson. I found interesting. I
thought you guys had talked about that.
No, we have not talked about that. Not to my knowledge. I thought I was at a bar the other night and I was talking about this that I have this theory. I'm sure it's wrong, but
should we give some context or
context first, please? Yeah.
All right. So I kind of raised it at the end of last week, but so IBM Watson. Everybody knows about this thing that's being, you know, touted by IBM all over the place now. And what I don't remember who did it, but they have effectively got a Watson-powered hotel hostess, concierge, effectively.
It's at the Hilton.
It's a Hilton?
Yeah, Hilton.
Where? All Hiltons? Or?
No, it's a pilot program.
Yeah,
and I think it's only at one right now.
So the question was, you know, Gavin's over here with Siri trying to figure out how to make her talk to Alexa and make that all work out. Here's IBM doing something very similar. They're effectively putting this Watson tool in the persona of a nice concierge named Connie and saying, hey, that's going to be the future, right? Talk to this person. And what do we think about that? Is it, you know, it's the robotification of these services. So you were going to
But and that's why I think it's so interesting, because I think people underestimate how many of our jobs can be taken over eventually by robots and AI. Like I think we always think it's just, like, oh, well, fuck these people who do flip burgers, like a robot will do that. I'm like, no, I think I think tax lawyers, you know, I think almost anything could be taken over eventually. And it's interesting too. They have photos, and it looks like about an 18-inch high transformer that you talk into, which is kind of weird.
Is it
too.
Better to talk into that or a Pringles can or your watch?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Gavin, you want to weigh in on that?
The watch
is better.
Easier than that tiny creepy room. Which, I mean, I love it.
I was wondering if that eventually happens, which I think it would, that the unemployment would be so high. Like, what would you just pay people to not riot? Basically, like, would just everybody get like sort of a living salary since you wouldn't be able to get a job?
It's a very good question.
Yeah.
If there are no paying, if there are no tasks,
yeah,
or very few tasks that require a human. What happens?
Yeah.
How do we address trade? How do we get food from point A to point B? I don't know. I think it's a very strange one. Is that what, you know, the Wall-E thing where people just sit and they're taken care of by the machines?
Uh-huh.
And is that, you know, is that okay?
Yeah.
I don't think it's okay.
Yeah. It's just funny, too, because, like, you know, politicians always they always say, well, we just got to move everybody to the knowledge economy. And it's like, well, that's easier said than done. Like, you know, I know a lot of people that aren't going to land so easily. like my Uncle Don isn't going to work at Facebook, you know, with no matter how much training you give him, you know.
It's going to take a long time for all business to get to a point where they can, you know, truly automate everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's accelerating. I think that will start to accelerate kind of like Moore's Law in technology.
Right? Sure, yeah.
The automation of stuff will start to double. You know, we're seeing self-driving cars, but there's what? Tesla is the only one that's offering any version of that commercially at this stage? Am I wrong?
I don't know if Google's is offered.
I think they're the only ones that are offering that. And
that's for sale, their self-driving car.
It's an upgrade
to their it's a software patch. You download it, and it's limited capacity, right? So I think the way they first introduced it was, oh yeah, download the patch and it will do certain things. If you're, it's like an enhanced cruise control initially, which basically says I'm going to set my speed and it's going to take care of me between, you know, point A to point B, but it's not going to get off the highway for you. You're got to be aware that, oh, this is my exit, take it out of that and I'll get out of the deal, right? But that's how they started, and it just keeps getting more enhanced and more advanced, and now you can run it and on the streets effectively.
But go ahead. Finish.
So I'm looking at that going, all right, well, that's the first thing, and it's going to double, right? The first thing was we're going to do the first thing we saw with that was parallel parking cars, right? Which a lot of people have. Push a button and the car parks itself. So it's doubling in a year. It's doubling in a year. It's doubling in a year. You know, in 5-10 years, well, a lot of people have self-driving cars. You know,
the algorithms are going to get really efficient, and we'll finally have fast traffic.
Yeah.
We're going to coordinate.
Yeah. Always got to worry about those cars that aren't self-driving, though.
We got to get
them. Got to get them off the road. But I just think that's what's going to happen to automation in general, is we're going to start to see leapfrogs of progress in automation to the point where, jobs are starting to really be impacted. And how do we react? How does society react? How do cities react to that? Because there's going to be a lot of people
that are unemployed,
not going to have a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
Michelle might be right. I think we just have to pay people.
Well, it's just interesting to me. It basically means that capitalism was so efficient, it became socialism. Because it became so efficient, it got rid of all jobs.
Yeah.
And then the government just had to pay you to not riot and destroy the machines.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's basically going to be like Futurama with Mom, you know. She's the owner of the robot company. If anyone knows that cartoon, it's going
to be yep.
That. Yeah.
Our audience might not get that one, but
I bet they will.
I did see this article this week. Google is hiring drivers for their self-driving cars.
Nice. They're going to learn from their past.
So you have to be available 6 to 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. You have to be a good driver. And you have to keep a secret. So I'm wondering, it's like a pilot program. They want drivers to be in there.
Yep.
This is on the.
That's the lesson they learned from hitting the bus, according to what I read.
There's a driver in that car.
Yeah. So that's the lesson that they learned. Yeah. The Google car hit a bus. They got all this data. They had a person in the car that didn't stop it. And it's kind of like, that was amazing. It was a great learning experience for us. We're going to do more of
but
that.
But as I read
we're going to crash into more buses and record more data.
They looked at everything around them and they said, we have enough room. We can pull out there. We're going like 15 miles an hour. We're going to move into this lane. That bus is coming, but that bus, you know, you would have done it as a driver.
You would have
done the same routine.
Right.
The fucking bus didn't stop.
Bus drivers are terrible drivers.
I mean, there's some things you can't, you know, code around. I mean,
this morning,
the human in the car said he thought the bus was going to stop too.
Yeah.
It's a good headline, like self-driving car hits bus.
So this happened to me today, like on the way to the train station, I'm on my bike and I have this one long, really long light. I get stopped all the time. So I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I look around, there's no traffic coming. There's one car coming. So I'm like, okay, I can go. He's going into the turn lane. So I'm like, I'm safe. He's going in the turn lane. So as I start going across, all of a sudden he you know, bolts out of the turn lane and goes straight and almost hits me. So it's like there's situations like that you can't really plan a car for.
Right, which goes back to my point and Gavin's point. We got to get those people off the road.
Exactly.
We just got everything has to be self-driving.
Automated lanes.
I think it would be so. I would imagine, because once self-driving cars hit the market, they're going to, like, insurance companies are basically going to go belly up, you know, because there's not going to be any accidents. So I think what they're going to have to do is, if you want to actually drive a car, like, buying insurance for it will probably be more expensive.
Yeah, cost a fortune. Sure.
Yeah, because you'll be like, well, you are statistically the worst driver on planet Earth, right? Like, you're the worst driver on every road you go on if it's going to cost an arm and a leg to insure you.
But that's why it will rapidly ramp up, but it will impact things over time.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, think of how many, the self-driving car, like how many industries, body shops are gone, insurance companies are gone, you know, like there's a lot. I mean, it's going to disrupt so many ancillary markets, you know, it's pretty huge.
It is huge.
Yeah.
And self-driving cars will probably take themselves to the goddamn shop to get themselves fixed.
They'll know when they're
oil change. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some people who feel like University of Michigan has a program where, like, students there, my wife was just in Ann Arbor, and they have a pilot program where students, it's almost like an Uber, but for self-driving cars. Mm. And a Google car comes and picks you up and can drive you around campus.
Oh, nice.
And some people think that's the future, that you won't even own a car. You'll never need to worry that, like, a self-driving car will pick you up for all your errands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just ask for a car. The mm-hmm. nearest freeing up car
exactly,
comes
yeah.
to your house.
Which would be, that'd be awesome.
Totally.
Never have to worry about a car.
It's almost like a bike sharing program. Just
share
a car.
Great. It'd be great. I hate owning a car and I hate owning a house. I guess you got to own the house.
Was this in the podcast or was this in the room where I think you might have brought up how, like, the level of difference between the top echelons of IBM and the lowest echelons of IBM and what you deal with?
This was in the room yesterday.
Yeah.
And then you have something else.
IBM literally has the smartest people.
It's a little off topic, but we were talking in the other room. I was reading this article on how close teleportation may or may not be, okay? And apparently...
What was the upshot of that? Right around the corner.
Well, with the article, it was actually a metaphysical discussion of, like, are you really yourself when you've been teleported? Because it has to reconstitute you at an atomic level.
Fair enough.
But anyways, apparently it's happened at, like, very nano levels, and it's IBM did most of the science behind it in the 1990s. And I'm always like, this is, you know, and we were joking in there. I'm like, isn't it hilarious that you have IBM at the top level, basically redoing science, like, you know, the laws of gravity and
God,
you know, creating AI that can run the world. And then you have our level where they're just like, I am going to need 7 weeks to open up a ticket to create a socket. And And I'm just like, how many fucking tickets did the teleport? Oh yeah, we were saying, would it be on our next call? Like, hey, can we just get the guy who invented teleportation on this project?
Could you escalate that DirSync ticket to the teleportation guy? Because we'd actually like to move away from that technology. Could you just teleport our passwords into the cloud?
He devises a system where our directory is teleported to the cloud.
Oh my god.
Floor plans.
God, that would be awesome.
We have the best fire drill in the world. We're just like zoom out of the office, all 182 of us.
Oh man.
So this was an actual article, and they did this.
They could so through quantum entanglement. There's this phenomena where atoms can become entangled, and this is also what apparently quantum computing leverages. Once they become entangled, they share like the same information state, and they think it goes over infinite distances. So like if one moves, the other moves in the same direction. So they can somehow leverage this. I have no idea how. They can somehow leverage this to basically using quantum entanglement, they can reconstitute an object in a separate room. And it disappears from one. It atomically disappears from one room.
Huh.
And atomically, through entanglement, gets recreated in the other room. And this is a guy at IBM who, like, did it himself. And it's just funny, you know, when we have all our frustrations with IBM. I mean, not to shit on them or anything like that. And then you just read shit and you're like, what the hell? I mean, you know.
You know how companies give like their employees like their Fridays to do whatever they want? And this guy just came up with teleportation. It's like,
And then he went back to answering tickets.
Yeah. It's like, Bob, we realize you have a lot of tickets to do Monday through Thursday, but Friday...
By the way, this is all called the Einstein-Podesky-Rosen correlation. Again, EPR. There's a three.
There's a three character. We need an acronym for that, Bob.
There's a three character. We've got that. Go on.
Has anyone heard of this rogue employee that's redefining the laws of physics? Anyways, he's doing it without tickets. And I need a ticket.
We don't have a ticket. We don't have an acronym. What the fuck's going on here?
No, that's the only way it got done. An acronym was created. It's the EPR program. Oh, okay. Right.
So he did this in the 90s. We got the acronym last week, and it was posted yesterday. Perfect. That's how that worked.
Oh, Bob. Got to bring Bob back in.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Do you know what would be hilarious is, like they're... They don't even know the same people in their same department, so it would be funny to just ask for him. And it would probably take them 2 weeks to realize we've asked for the teleportation guy. And they'd have to come back with, like, you know, he's not really available for your directory integration.
You want me to
project.
Just assign the next ticket to Charles H. Bennett?
Yes.
The IBM fellow from 1993 who invented the quantum entanglement theory? Yeah,
so
perfect.
Great.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Charles H. Bennett. We should just start throwing the name around. Couldn't we get Charles what?
CHB. Charles H. Bennett.
Charles
Bennett.
H. Bennett.
Could somebody get Charles Bennett on the phone?
I
think
we
can solve
this.
Oh, my God. Listen, I got something in the wrong pocket.
That'd be great if he dials in.
Can we get Charles Bennett's pockets over here? Because that's where this stuff needs
to be.
That'd
be great. Hello, this is Sir Charles Bennett. Not really sure why I'm on this call. And what's your role again, Charles? I invented teleportation.
I was the lead on the EPR project. Come on.
We've got these pictures in our Outlook line.
We've got this GIF. It won't animate in Outlook. Can you help us? I can reanimate a human body. I think I can get a GIF to work in Outlook.
That'd be great. He's just a cocky dude who does it.
Shit, I can't. It's been a week. I can't figure this shit out, damn it.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, well, on that fun note, do we have any vendor scum?
No.
John, pull it together, John. We've lost John.
Excuse me.
You had scum, but I don't know how good it was.
It was okay this week. we had one guy, one vendor that actually announced, he's like, I'm going to call you later today. So here's my white paper. If you want to look it over with any questions, have them ready for me when I call you. I'm like...
I like that. The preempting. You
know? Exactly.
It's you do some homework.
And he's like, my number's down below. So if you have any questions before I call, just call me.
That was the best part of the whole thing.
But it's like questions. I'll still call you.
In a world of caller ID, he's like, I'm gonna call you, and here's my number below. It's like, now you know not to answer that call.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense. So that was probably the best one we had this week.
So you didn't talk to this guy?
Did not talk to him at all. So
That's disappointing, John.
Yeah, I know. Kind of a slow week.
That's pretty good. Ballsy, I like it. I'm going to call you.
Okay, I'm going to call you.
So the last thing that I saw being bandied about was the whole issue of virtual reality stuff. Because what happened, Oculus was released officially, and then there's the Sony thing. Who cares in this room? Anybody?
I mean, no, not really.
No, not even a little bit. You wouldn't...
I mean, I've...
At the right price point, you wouldn't try that?
I've had a VR headset like Dan's brought in his cardboard, and I've got my own thing, and they sell different variations of the whole thing. I don't know. Like, I get a headache in 3D movies. I don't think VR
John
is
going
to be...
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, you were on that.
I played a little bit.
Little device.
I'd rather have a hologram,
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Oculus thing, I saw the potential for it, but it was not ready for prime time. Hard to work. It looked great. And then you tried to interact with it, and it was more challenging.
The bigger story of the week regarding VR was, so there were all the VR announcements, and then Pornhub said, and we're streaming VR content now. And that took over the entire conversation, and yeah.
So what do? You have your device and you download it.
What do you do, Sean? Yeah.
No, I mean, like,
Sean,
Pornhub, what do you do? I have all the equipment.
What am I supposed to do with this stuff?
Is there an app? What am I supposed to do? Yes.
But like, is it like when they show a 3D movie on... Can you even watch it on a normal computer, or do you need the...
I have no idea.
Is it not even HTTP? It's got to be HTTP.
I'm sorry. Yeah. If it's virtual reality and it's porn, I'm probably thinking it's a bit more interactive than just seeing what's going on.
No, but I'm wondering if you have to have the actual VR device to even...
So the way these things work right now is you saw the way we recorded the room that you're in, right? So we can record the room you're in a 360 view, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you can put the headset on and stand anywhere in the world, load up the VR that you recorded, and wherever you're standing, it looks like you're standing in that room. You look up, you look down, it's the speakeasy, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how the technology works. Well, they've got video that does the same thing. So as they're... And you've seen this when you watch a football game. They have the 360 view, right? We're going to show you this touchdown from every angle, right? So they've got cameras recording at the same time.
I see.
So what they're doing is they've got cameras all over the place recording porn.
Yeah.
And then you can now move around inside that room where they're recording porn, and it looks like you're in the middle of
Can you imagine tech support for Pornhub?
That's how that
works. Like, some calls like, okay, so you're naked, and you have the headset on, and you have the goggles on. And
you do? Check.
Yes, I do. Now, are you plugged in? Yes.
No, not plugged in like that.
Yeah.
I think I'm waiting just in general. I'm waiting for the killer app or experience or environment, and it's not Pornhub for me. There's going to be something that's going to attract me.
Jay Leno has a new show that's the same thing, too, where he rides around in his cars, and it's a 360 VR.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I was thinking that it'll be fun when everybody has these, like your glasses are your VR headset or whatever. It's like completely immersive, and then you can just kind of like your room sucks, your apartment sucks, and you don't want to buy a poster, but you could decorate it with a virtual poster. You can put one up, or like you want to make your boss look funny, so you put a hat on your boss all the time.
All the time. Yeah, yeah. Whenever you see him, it's just like the Google thing, right? Absolutely.
Or like you have some windows that, or you don't have windows in your office, and you have no real sunlight, you can put up a nice window. So I can't wait for that.
We're not saying we need sunlight in our office or anything. We're just
I'm not saying that. I would never say that. We don't live in a cave.
But we've been in this cave a long time.
We have.
And we talked about putting, literally, how hard is it to get a webcam and put it out there, and you can see, we can do that today.
Right.
Nobody's ever done it.
Yeah.
We have the camera up. We should do it.
Yeah.
That's about as far as this conversation ever goes.
Yeah, right.
Merchandise Mart already has one.
Tap into somebody else's. Perfect. Yeah. I'd be interested at the right price point just because of what I experienced when I screwed around with it. I like what you're saying. And what's Microsoft's version of it? The HoloLens or whatever it's called. And they're on the verge of putting something out, but they were like, it was ridiculous pricing. It was, you can get this thing and it's great and it's going to cost $1,000, and the stuff that's on it is for 10-year-old kids. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested at the right price point and the right, application effectively. Mm. But I think I'm more with you, Gav. I'd want to see it be a lot more lightweight and just part of your experience.
Yeah.
So you can interact with your world and blend it with others. Did you see the guy who built the, a mirror that had, it was like bathroom mirror that had smart technology in it, and he would broadcast stuff onto the mirror. So in the morning when he walked in, basically flip a switch and the weather would be there and the news headlines would be there. It would all be on his, big mirror. So as he was brushing his teeth and shaving, he was getting sort of updates that way as opposed to the phone thing. That was pretty cool. And that was all real. He actually built that thing. So
yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. You should sell it. I mean,
put that in every hotel.
It's a pretty cool idea.
I'm excited when hotels have the mirrors that don't fog up right in the middle when you take a shower.
Yeah.
But if they did that, that'd be great.
That would be better.
That would be better.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap up. Do you guys have anything else you want to share or say? No, that was good.
Pretty quality this
week. We were good here.
We were good.
Self-evaluation. Yes.
Good job, guys. Yes. Good talk.
Nice. Fun times.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. Don't forget, tweet us, Worldwide IT Guys, and check us out on www.itguys.com.
And wish Gavin a happy birthday this week.
Happy birthday, Gavin.
Happy birthday, old man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
We'll see you.
Cheers.
Not bad. Technically, Dion, don't make a big deal out of this. Talking to the microphone?
It's awkward to share.
It's just fine. Awkward to talk about. You need to check your mic.